Hey, thank you very much, Kevin. Appreciate the opportunity. And this is the E-Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce and Clinton County Economic Development. Always enjoy being with the folks every week we can, and we record a lot of programs, but live today, and glad to be able to do that, especially in these trying and challenging times. What is the E-Factor? You might be the first time tuning in. The E-Factor stands for those E-tributes of a community, not the attributes, but the E-tributes, you know, the engagement, the entertainment, education, employment, employers, all the encouragement, the empowerment, especially now more than any time, what we need. And we're going to be talking to Mr. Leroy Good here in just a little bit. But before I do that, I wanted to kind of set up this program that we actually have got a variety of different things happening, and we're trying to keep our social distancing. But I have live right here with me at the chamber office, Mr. Alan Dunn. He is the president of the Clinton County Council, and Alan is here signing some important papers that, as we're working on a project. And Alan, I thought maybe you could kind of give an update from the county council side of what's going on, because this is some trying times, some challenging times, some crazy times. And first of all, how are you doing?
Well, I'm fine. My family's fine. Everybody's trying to stay healthy and follow the CDC guidelines and recommendations, as we all are. So from a council perspective, we're still feeling our way a little bit. The county is open for business. We're conducting the people's business on a daily basis. However, we are feeling our way along about how to do a meeting, how to still allow for public input, how to broadcast our meetings now that members are allowed to participate remotely, which has never been an option before. So we're slowly coming up with those processes and strategies and adapting to the new norm.
And you did that yesterday. We had a joint drainage board meeting, commissioners meeting. You were there. The folks were tuning in. There was opportunity for public input. How did that go? Did you get any sense of how things went with that?
Well, I think it was new enough for the public that the public's still learning how we're going to do business as well. So I think as we go forward, we'll see more participation on viewership and those kinds of things. But we did broadcast the commissioners meeting and the drainage board meeting on a YouTube channel. We have the ability for the community to communicate back to us through a public comment at clintonco.com email address. So yesterday was our first foray into trying to conduct business with those restrictions. It went very smoothly. Commissioner Hewitt chaired the meeting in person, with Commissioner Shoemaker and Commissioner Woods calling in remotely. And I was able to join Josh at the table with our 6-foot separation, and we were able to get through what we needed to do. So next week, we have a series, actually a week from Monday, we have a series of meetings on the 6th with some important business related to the road bonds that we're going to need for the I-65 State Road 28 project, and we'll do those online, and the public will be able to view all of those as well. So we continue to learn. We hope the public will be patient with us. But we're doing the best we can to allow the public to still participate while we follow the rules that we need to follow right now.
I thought it was an important decision that the council made. You presented actually a couple of weeks ago at one of the commissioners' meetings that, hey, we are all in this thing together. If the commissioners need any assistance from the council regarding funding, you guys have opened that up and done the best you can within the means that you have to make that available.
Yeah, we did. I made sure the commissioners knew that that there are emergency budgeting procedures in place that the council can follow. If there's deemed to be an emergency need, the council can meet and dispense with the need to have a 10-day advertisement period for any expenditure. We can move within the same day if needed. And that, in fact, came into play a couple of days later when the health department, the Board of Health, made an emergency request for funding. I received that request in the morning, and by 4 that afternoon, I had a quorum of council members, and we were able to meet and approve that funding. So I wanted the public, I wanted the commissioners to know that we had that ability to react quickly and that we would do all that we could to support their efforts.
Absolutely. Well, this is, again, challenging times and drastic times mean we have to use some drastic measures. We saw that happening and playing out in the federal level with the stimulus package that I think, I'm not too sure if they've even got that approved in the Congress today. I think it's moving into the House today. Talk a little bit about that from a local perspective, and have you been able to get any feel if there's going to be any significant help from the stimulus package to local governance?
I've seen some summaries of what's been included in that package, but I have not seen specific information yet as to how it will relate to local government. What I can tell you, Shan, is that we are moving forward on the assumption that at some point there will be assistance for local governments in the form of reimbursements for additional expenses and costs that we incur. So Commissioner Ewis and I have been very much trying to communicate to the department heads that anything that you expend that would be considered specific to this emergency situation, keep it separate. Keep a separate tally of it, document it, and that we'll attempt to get those expenses reimbursed. We are incurring some costs with some equipment. We're trying to get some of our departments the laptop computers, those things, so that members can operate and do their job from home. It's requiring some additional equipment to make that work. So those are the kinds of things that we're trying to keep a separate tally of and hopefully get reimbursed when this is all over.
We have been saying the same thing to local business. Document, document, document. If you have lost hours, if you've had to let someone go during this situation, or if you are keeping someone and it is really stressing you out, document all this. If you're a small business, even if you're self-employed, make sure you document the hours or the lost business, because these are things that the SBA is willing to come in and help.
I guess one other thing that as relates to county government and county funding would be that the governor, I'm sorry, as part of his executive order, did put a 60-day waiver on penalties for the first installment of property taxes. So that means you, in effect, have until July the 10th to be your deadline for payment. However, as the county council president in charge of the budget, one thing I want to say to anyone out there that has the ability to pay is please pay in May, because that is the money that the county operates on. And it will, and not just the county, we distribute those dollars to all taxing districts, cities, townships, special districts, et cetera. If no one pays in May, that's going to cause a real problem, and maybe the most important problem that we would face from the coronavirus in all respects would be if we don't have any money to operate on. So to the extent that you are able to pay, we ask you to try to pay in May. But if you can't, you do have that flexibility of waiting until as long as July, and hopefully that passes and people can get back to work and the cash flow starts coming again.
Absolutely. And I think that the priority is, of course, life and safety and health of people. And I know the county has taken every precaution, and we have been in multiple public meetings together and multiple meetings of the airport authority, last week. We had chairs set up 10 feet apart from other places. Everybody is really working diligently on the county side and in the city side as well. Mayor Judy Seitz has been in constant contact with Josh Hewitt, the president of the commissioner. I know all of you guys have been huddling. I was with Darrell Sanders this morning talking to him. He's getting ready to have another emergency management meeting at 10 o'clock today. We have our first case of the coronavirus in Clinton County. I know that a lot of people are a little anxious and a little nervous about all those things that are happening with that, but I think that we need to recognize and understand that this community and this county, and I've been here for a long time, is probably one of the most prepared communities, especially in our size, that I know of anywhere.
Well, Shan, most people don't know this, but every year we have tabletop disaster scenarios that all members of local government, council, commissioners, department heads, that you know, we get together and we run through scenarios that maybe we've not done a pandemic virus. We've done other things that where we have to practice how we're going to do an emergency response. So we are ready. We're prepared. There are plans in place for how to deal with things like this.
Absolutely. And we're actually letting Josh Hewitt in. Poor Josh didn't even know he's going on live on the air right now. But Commissioner President Josh Hewitt, we've been talking to Alan Dunn, the president of the county council, Josh, and we've been talking about from the financial side of things, how this county has responded and working through this. You're more on the executive side and trying to navigate through things. I was on the phone with Darrell Sanders this morning talking about things from a county's perspective. When we were talking about the great meeting yesterday, Commissioner, you guys did a wonderful job of doing that electronically, digitally, getting the news to happen. So business is still going on here in the county.
Yeah, we've taken a great measures to make sure we can still protect business. So there was some, you know, we had a couple of inadvertent things that occurred when we closed the courthouse, but we've taken steps to correct those. And I just had an email exchange with a gentleman this morning from Duke Energy, but they want to make sure they can still put new service in for people. So it's every day there's something else to take care of. So,
doing the business of the people, and
yeah.
And you guys are elected as those folks. And I will tell you, working with you guys over the, especially the last couple of years and especially in these last few weeks, these guys are working diligently to make sure that the business of the people are protected and the views of the people are represented. Josh, can you give us any, I know we've had our first case coronavirus.
Yeah.
Can you give us an update of where the county is on that and if there is anything that we should be doing or doing different?
I don't know that anybody needs to do anything differently. I think everybody needs to continue to follow the CDC guidelines and social distancing and take the governor's advice and stay at home as best you can. As far as the first case in Clinton County, I don't have any update on that. I do know that the Clinton County Health Department and the Indiana State Health Department are following up with that particular case and then anyone who could have been exposed or needs to take precautions. So they are working on that. I just don't know the particulars.
And you work with EMS, and I think all of us are, if you just exert some common sense in this situation and check that people say, well, there should be more testing. Well, you know what? Again, CDC and our Clinton County Health guidelines are basically that you don't need to be tested unless you're symptomatic. And there's a lot of people out there that, well, they might be carrying it or whatever, and I understand that, but that's part of the stay home, right?
Right.
Just stay away, social distancing, so that you don't you don't spread if you do, if you're asymptomatic.
That's true. You know, a lot of times, folks, there's a lot of reasons people would or would not be tested. And, you know, if you're a perfectly healthy young individual, they're not going to waste the test on you because your survival rate is 97%. So, but to speak to that, there has been testing going on in Clinton County. I think the idea is out there that has not been occurring, but it has. And there, as of yesterday, over 40 individuals have been tested now, and one has come back positive. So,
well, I tell you, you guys are doing a yeoman's job. You're working very diligently behind the scenes. You're here at this office today to sign some very important papers regarding next steps, actually for another project that we're working on, but also next steps in the I-6528 project. We had another team meeting yesterday. Josh, can you tell me a little bit from your perspective on how that project is going and where we are with that?
Well, we're still full speed ahead on that project. You know, we've bid the water. The road work has gone out for bid, and then sewer should go out to bid here just as soon as we can. We're still hanging back on that, waiting on an answer from the EDA on a grant. But everybody's ready to go on that, and I fully expect to see some dirt flying here, hopefully within a month.
You guys talk because you got some business to deal with. Stay 6 feet apart. I know we're a little close right now in the radio scenario. Thank you so much for joining us on the E-Factor. Thank you very
much. Thanks,
Jan. Appreciate it. All right. So if you're back in the studio, Kevin, I'd love to be able to talk to our special guest. Besides our other two special guests here, we've got Brother Leroy Good joining us this morning. And I don't know if you can connect him or not.
Yes, Jan, he should be connected right now.
Yeah.
All right, Leroy.
Yeah.
Good to talk to you this morning. Are you there?
I'm right here.
Awesome. Well, great to hear your voice, Leroy. You just were listening to Alan and Josh, our presidents of the commissioner, our president of the council, and our commissioner president. You've gone through a lot of presidents of commissioners and council, and actually of the United States in your 99 years. What do you think about all this current events that are going on?
Well, I don't know. History kind of repeats itself. I was reading the paper the other day. In 1910, they had a tuberculosis, a TB outbreak in the country, and we had a neighbor that lost three daughters. And two of those daughters each had a daughter of their own, and the grandparents raised them. And I grew up with them, and people talked for years how terrible that TB panic was. Then in 1918, they had the big flu epidemic. That was worldwide. My dad was on a troop ship going to France, and they lost six soldiers on that trip. He was pallbearer for one. At a certain time in the evening, they buried him at sea. And six of those who died on the ship going to France. And then in the early 50s, we had that polio outbreak, and that hit Clinton County pretty hard. the Mulberry area and in Frankfurt, quite a few was afflicted by the polio epidemic.
Right. And in each one of those cases, we're kind of like where we are right now. There was really no vaccine or there was no cure at the time, correct?
No, there was no cure whatsoever. And the polio was terrible. I remember the elevator, that first grade teacher brought the little kids over, and I put them all on the big scales and weighed them all together, trying to get their minds back on, you know, living so that they wouldn't be all scared to death about what was going on around them.
Right, and, right. So going back, I want to go back a little bit to World War One. When you were talking about your dad, that was where he was headed to France during World War One.
He was on the troop ship going to France.
Okay, and that's where that would be the Spanish flu that they were battling
Yes, that's what they called the Spanish flu, but it was worldwide. I forget, hundred thousand so died from that epidemic.
Right. There was 500,000 that died in just this country alone during the Spanish flu of 1918. Yeah, 500,000. Those are the numbers.
That's half a million. I knew two local boys that never knew their fathers. Their fathers died before they were born.
My goodness.
I knew them. They never had a father. So,
Leroy, you've gone through a variety of different situations in your 99 years of life, and you're coming up on 100th in June, so we look forward to that. But when you think about things that have happened in your lifetime, you know, you were born in 1920, so you just missed but you were still impacted by the Spanish flu because of your dad stories. But then you grew up in that Depression era as well, mm-hmm. which was people were jumping off of buildings during those times.
Yeah, those Wall Streeters that couldn't stand their losses was jumping out of the buildings.
Mm.
And it came as a kind of a sudden surprise, too, I guess, from what I can remember. I've lived under 18 different presidents, so the first two, Wilson and Harding, I can't remember, but I remember kind of from Coolidge on down.
Right.
So
let's talk a little bit about that from a political standpoint and where things are in this country today politically versus where they were back in those days of difficult, challenging times, whether it be the Depression, whether it be the flu, whether it be the polio outbreak. What are some things that you remember that were being said in the political realm when fingers may be pointed? How did the country deal with all of that back in those days?
Well, I was telling some people here recently, President Trump was more or less telling how good we've all had it, and the stock market is all-time high and everything. I said it kind of reminded me of Hoover. When he was running, he said, "I'm going to have a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage." And about 30 days later, the bottom dropped out of everything.
You
got to be careful what you're bragging about. It don't always hold good.
Right, right. So, well, I think a key part of all this is having humility and remaining humble in all this, because when you're in this situation, and I think you would agree with me, Leroy, that during these type of scenarios, we're kind of out of control. I mean, we're really under the mercy of whoever is in control, which we believe as a God, the Father God that loves us and cares about us. But, you know, when you think about this world and the anxiety and the stress level that people are under, thinking about not having control, it's probably a good thing to stay humble and remind ourselves that we need to pray.
Yes, we need to do that. As far as the Depression goes, World War II is what brought us really out of the Depression. I know in 1941, I was still working for the neighbors and haymaking stuff for $2 a day. That's not $2 an hour. That's $2 for a day's work.
Wow.
but you could get 6 gallons of gasoline for a dollar, so it all kind of balanced out.
And when you were in, let's go to the World War II now, as you were there, you certainly saw some difficult times in different countries. You were and our soldiers that were in the different theaters of the war had to deal with a variety of different challenges. What were some of those, Leroy?
Well, some of those were terrible. We first went to England. We was there 5 months in England, and they just didn't have any just bare necessities for food lines and everything. And then we were sent into North Africa, and that got a little bit worse. And the country of Italy is the worst I ever saw. We went in there, the little kids, their arms and legs were just like little broomsticks. They were really starving. Mm. And we shared our food and stuff with them, and they'd really go for our sea rations and everything. And I just never saw a country that was as hungry and starved as the Italians was. And everybody thought Mussolini was taking good care of them, but he took good care of himself, evidently, and his party, but he didn't take care of the people.
Right.
So
right.
When the Americans got in there, it was a blessing to them.
Which reminds me that, you know, the opportunity for democracy and freedom shining and us supporting that here, even here locally, but in our country, it's important for us to recognize that folks were begging for that in these other countries. They were under these regimes, and they needed and wanted freedom.
Yes, it was right. I never will forget one of Bill Mauldin's cartoons. Old Willie hadn't shaved. He was the infantryman. He had a can of sea ration. There was a little girl just skin and bones. And the title of it was The Prince and the Pauper. He was the prince, and the little girl was the pauper.
Wow.
So it was just a true, it was cartoons, but it was still really true to their life.
Yeah. Leroy, we only got a couple of minutes left.
Yes.
I want you to talk to the folks today. You're live right now, and this will be recorded, so some of these folks this weekend won't be hearing this live. But your grandfather right now talking to your grandkids about everything that's going on in this world, what advice can you give us, your grandchildren, in this time of anxiety and stress and uncertainty?
Well, I've got a couple of great-grandchildren. They seem very interested in the history of my life. They can, one's a fourth grader and one's a first grader. They can really ask you some intelligent questions. And all I can tell them, just weather the storm and do what's right. That's the main thing. And if you do what's right, things will turn out all right for you.
Wow. Well, that's some good advice, my friend, and I thank you so much today for being a part of the E-Factor. You know, you've touched my life in many ways, and we're very thankful to have you here in this community, and thank you for your service to our country and to our state of Indiana and our great county here in Clinton County. Thank you for what you do, Brother.
You're entirely welcome, Dan. I appreciate helping you out and giving some facts of life.
Amen. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That
was Leroy Good here on the E-Factor. You also heard Alan Dunn earlier and Josh Hewitt earlier on the program. I want to close today with this closing prayer for all of us during these trying times, and just close out the E-Factor with an opportunity to relate to God. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that we can be together. Lord, even if we have to be socially distancing, we can still be together through the airwaves and through letters and through emails and through telephone calls. We just ask, God, that we would rely upon you as we humble ourselves before you. And we ask that you would heal our land, that you would heal the people that are sick, that, Lord, that you would stop the virus in its tracks, and that, Lord, that we would rejoice in you as we call upon you today. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you, and understand this, God wants to give you peace, and God wants to use you to be an encouragement, to be an engager, to be someone out there giving someone hope. You might be the hands and feet of God, and go and do his work and be part of the E factor in someone else's life. We'll talk to you next time.